I want to take up in volume 12, in January the 24th, 1921. We're going to be talking about the third fiat for a long time now. The third fiat will bring to completion the glory and the honour of the fiat of creation. And the three fiats will veil the most holy Trinity on earth. This is very important teaching now. Louisa said she was feeling annihilated in thinking about this fiat of the Lord. But beloved Jesus wanted to increase her confusion, she said. It seems that he wants to make fun of me, proposing to me astonishing and most incredible things, taking pleasure in seeing me confused and more annihilated. And what is worse is that I am forced by obedience to write them to my greater torment. So while I was praying, my sweet Jesus leaned his head against mine, sustaining his forehead with his hand, and a light coming from his forehead told me. Now this light, this is infused knowledge coming directly from his intellect to hers. My daughter, he said, the first fiat was pronounced in creation with no intervention of the creature. Naturally, because we weren't there. The second fiat was pronounced in redemption. I wanted the intervention of the creature, so I chose my mother for the completion of the second fiat. Now, for the fulfillment of both the first and the second, I want to pronounce the third fiat. And I want to pronounce it through you. I have chosen you, he said to Louisa, for the fulfillment of the third fiat. This third fiat will bring to completion the glory and the honour of the fiat of creation. And it will be the confirmation and the development of the fruits of the fiat of redemption. These three fiats will veil the most holy Trinity on earth. And I will have the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. These three fiats will be inseparable. Each one will be the life of the other. They will be one and triune, just as God himself is one and triune. They will be distinct among themselves, just as the three persons of the Most Holy Trinity are distinct among themselves. My love wants it. My glory demands it, he said. Having unleashed the first two fiats from the womb of my creative power, it wants to unleash the third fiat because my love can no longer contain it. So it's time for that love to be poured out. And this in order to complete the work which came from me. Otherwise, the works of creation and of redemption would be incomplete, and God is not able to do something that isn't complete. On hearing this, Louisa said, I was not only confused but stunned. And I said to myself, is all this possible? There are so many. And if it is true that he has chosen me, she means there are so many other holy people. If it's true that he has chosen me, it seems to me that this is one of the usual follies of Jesus. And then, what could I do or say from within a bed, half crippled and inept as I am? How could I ever keep up with the multiplicity and infinity of the fiat of creation and of redemption? And yet she will do it marvellously when we go on in the higher volumes. Since my fiat is similar to the other two fiats, I must run together with them, multiply myself with them, do the good which they do, braid myself with them. Jesus, think of what you are doing, she said. I'm not this much. But who can tell all the nonsense that I was saying? And then Jesus came back and told her, my daughter, calm yourself. I choose whomever I please. Now, this is perfectly clear in Romans 11, verses 5 to 6, and in Romans 9, verses 19 to 21. The clay cannot say to the potter, "Why did you not choose me?" Or, "I want to be different." "I choose whomever I please. However, know that I begin all of my works between myself and one creature, and then they are spread. In fact, who was the first spectator of the fiat of creation? It was Adam and then Eve. It surely wasn't a multitude of people. Only after years and years did crowds and multitudes of people become spectators of it. In the second fiat, my mother was the only spectator. Not even Saint Joseph knew anything. And my mother found herself more than in your condition. The greatness of the creative power of my work, which she felt within herself, was such that, confounded, she did not feel the strength to mention it to anybody else. And if then Saint Joseph found out about it, it was because I manifested it to him. So this fiat, germinated like a seed within her virginal womb. The ear of the grain was formed in order to multiply it, and then it came to the light of day. But who were the spectators? Very few. In the room of Nazareth, now notice how small the house was. In the room of Nazareth, my dear mother and Saint Joseph were the only spectators. Then, when my most holy humanity grew up, I went out and I made myself known, but not to everyone. Afterwards, it spread more, and it will still spread, because not everybody knows about redemption yet. And so the third fiat will be like this. It will germinate within you. The ear of grain will be formed. Only the priest will have knowledge of it. And then a few souls. And then it will spread. It will spread. And it will follow the same path as creation and redemption. The more crushed you feel, the more the ear of the third fiat grows and is fertilized in you. Therefore, be attentive and be faithful. So I want to give you John 12:24. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it'll only remain a grain of wheat. But if it allows itself to die, it will bear much fruit. So February the 2nd, 1921. The third fiat must run together with the other two. Continuing my usual state, Louisa said, I was fusing all of myself in the divine volition. And I said to myself, my Jesus, I want to love you. And I want so much love as to compensate for the love of all generations which have been and which ever will be. But who can give me so much love to be able to love for all? My love in your will. My love, she said. In your will, there is the creative power. And therefore, in your will, I myself want to create. Look at the words she's saying. Because there's the creative power. So you can create. She wants to create as much love as to compensate for and surpass the love of all. And all that creatures are obliged to give to God, our Creator. In the divine will, we can use that creative power to create enough forgiveness for all humanity so that all war will stop. We can create enough humility for the human race to bend its knee before the living God. Can't you see we have the answer? While I was doing this, she said, Jesus came and moved in her interior and told her, my daughter, surely in my will there is the creative power. billions and billions of stars came out from one single fiat. Billions and billions of acts of grace, which communicate themselves to souls, came out of the fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum of my Holy Mother, from which redemption has its origin. These acts of grace are more beautiful, more shining, more varied than the stars. And while the stars are fixed and do not multiply, the acts of grace do multiply to infinity. And they run in every instant, attract souls, delight them, strengthen them, and give them life. Ah, if souls could see the supernatural order of grace, they would hear such harmony, and they would see such enchanting scenes as to believe that they were in paradise. Now, the third fiat too must run together with the other two fiats. It must multiply to infinity and in every instant. It must give as many acts for as many acts of grace as are unleashed from my womb. For as many stars, for as many drops of water, for as many created things as were unleashed in the fiat of creation. It must blend with them and say, as many acts as you are, so many I do. So whatever number of acts were done in creation and redemption must be done in the fiat of sanctification. These three acts have the same value and the same power. You disappear, Jesus said to Louisa. It is the fiat that acts. And therefore, you too can say in my omnipotent fiat, I want to create so much love, so many adorations to cover all the adoration that human beings ought to give to the Lord. I want to create so many blessings so that the Lord is blessed by every soul from Adam to Zachary. I want to create so much glory to my God as to compensate for everyone and everything. Look how beautiful it is. Your acts will fill heaven and earth, and they will multiply themselves with the acts of creation, that's the Father, the acts of redemption, the Son, and they will become one in with the acts of the Holy Spirit. All this may seem astonishing and incredible to some people. In this case, they would have to doubt about my creative power, because nothing is impossible with God. I mean, nothing is impossible with God. That's why when we go into the divine will, we find all power and all possibility. At this moment, we can go into the creative divine will of God, fuse ourselves with him as I do now, and I want to create as much healing as will cover every single person on the earth and overcome this coronavirus. He will do it in his creative power. He is healing. He is life. The virus cannot stand up to him. So all this may seem astonishing and incredible to some, but in this case, they would have to doubt my creative power. And besides, when it is I who wants it and who gives the power, every doubt ceases. In the miracles of Jesus, I've said this to you before, he sometimes simply said to the person, I want it. And if God wants it, that's it. It becomes a reality. Am I perhaps not free to do what I want? There's your Romans 11, 33 to 36. And to give to whomever I want. You must be attentive, Jesus said. I will be with you and I will overshadow you with my creative power. And I will accomplish what I want upon you. Now, that overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, you'll see it in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, at the incarnation for our Blessed Mother. And you will see it on Mount Tabor in Matthew 17:5, when the three apostles who were privileged to see the divinity of Jesus at that moment, they were overshadowed by the presence of God as well. So February the 8th, 1921, while the world wants to cast Jesus away from the face of the earth, he is preparing an era of love for them, the era of the third fiat. So you've got human beings going towards evil, and you have the Lord creating enormous, incredible, incalculable good for them while they're doing it. So now you know who God is. God is love. Jesus said, "O iniquitous world, you are doing everything you can to cast me away from the face of the earth." This is 1921, and atheistic communism and atheistic materialism is having a field day, destroying whole countries in the USSR and spreading out into Europe. Of course, it didn't start there. Atheistic materialism really came to the surface in France during the French Revolution. And France was called the eldest daughter of the church. How could such evil come from the eldest daughter of the church? "They want to cast me away from the face of the earth, to banish me from society, from schools, from conversations, from everything. Even here in Ireland, they've taken the crucifixes down from our walls. They won't leave any sign of Christianity in our hospitals or our schools. And they make lame excuses about it. That's banishing the Lord. You are plotting how to demolish temples and altars." Of course, that was happening in the USSR at the time that Jesus was speaking. "You want to destroy my church and kill my ministers," which they did in their thousands, "while I am preparing for you an era of love, an era of my third fiat. You will do whatever you do to banish me, and I will confound you by means of love." So love will conquer fear. Love will conquer hate. That's why in the divine will, we have to create enough love to conquer that hate. "I will follow you from behind," Jesus said, "and I will come towards you from the front so as to confound you in love." Of course, they're operating in hate and he's operating in love. "And wherever you have banished me, I will raise my throne," because you can't destroy God. "And there I will reign more than before, and in a more astonishing way, so much so that you yourself will have to fall at the foot of my throne as though bound by the power of my love." So this means that the greater the opposition given to Jesus, the higher he rises, the more challenge they give him, the more he reaches that challenge and surpasses it, because you're dealing with unconquerable love. That is demonstrated perfectly in the dying of Jesus on the cross. Indeed, during the entire Passion, the more hatred and destruction that was poured into him, the higher his love rose and accepted everything that was thrown at him, and he rose above it and he conquered them through the very things that they used to destroy him. He conquered them. We're going to have to discover something about this love, because it's unconquerable love. Then he added, "Ah, my daughter, the creature rages more and more in evil. How many machinations of ruin they are preparing. They will reach the point of exhausting evil itself. But while they are occupied with following their own way, I will be occupied with making the fiat voluntas tua come to its completion and fulfillment." and my will reign upon the earth, but in a completely new way. Because living in the divine will is completely spiritual. There isn't a material component. We ourselves are the only material component, and we have to be transformed into living hosts, and eventually we have to be transformed into light. In a completely new way. I will be occupied with preparing the era of the third fiat, in which my love will show off in a wondrous and unheard of way. Ah yes, I want to confound man completely in love. Therefore be attentive. I want you with me. The Lord never does want to do it without us. We have to put our little drop of water in the wine of his love. We have to put our little drop of water in the wine of his redemption as well. And I want you with me in preparing this celestial and divine era of love. And we will lend a hand to each other and will work together. So I want to give you for that whole paragraph 1 John 4:7, that God is love. And Psalm 145:17, God only ever acts out of love. Finally, Jesus drew near my mouth, Louisa said, and as he sent his omnipotent breath into it, I felt new life being infused into me, and then he disappeared. So that began in Genesis 2:7, when God infused his breath into Adam. And you have it in John 20:30, when Jesus breathed upon the apostles and they became a living church. So, February 16th, 1921. In order to enter the divine will, we must do nothing but remove the little stone of our will. So we're back to basics here. And we're back to where we started in volumes 1 to 4. And that is, our motto is, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And you'll only know the value of that when something crosses your will. Not my will, but thine be done. And if you're really finding difficulty with that, or if you want to get rid of the problem altogether, a prayer that Jesus taught me many, many, many years ago is, Jesus, take me from myself and give me to thee. I give you permission to actually take me from myself and give me to thee. Jesus said, my daughter, there are neither paths nor doors nor keys to enter my will. So there isn't a whole long list of rules. Because my will is everywhere. It flows under your feet. It's on the right. It's on the left. It's above your head. It's absolutely everywhere. The creature must do nothing but remove the little stone of her own will. That's all. The more we put down our own will, the more his will rises. The more we put down self-love, the more his love rises. It's actually that simple. The creature has nothing to do but remove the little stone of her own will, which, though being in my will, does not take part in, nor does it enjoy its effects, becoming a stranger in my volition. Now, everything is in the divine will, absolutely everything. So we're in the divine will. That means our little human will is in the divine will, but it doesn't mix with the divine will. Only one or the other has to work. And so to allow the divine will to work, we have to put down the human will. In fact, it is as if the little stone of her will prevented the water from flowing from the shore so as to run somewhere else. The stones are blocking it. So it's our bits of human will that's actually blocking the divine will from doing what it wants. But if the soul removes the little stone of her will, at that very instant, it actually doesn't matter whether you're sitting on top of a mountain or sitting in your bath. It actually doesn't matter where you are. At that very instant, she flows into me and I into her. She finds all my goods at her disposal. She finds strength, light, and help, whatever she wants. This is why there are no paths, doors, or keys. It is enough for her to want it, and all is done. In other words, you open the door, the air comes in. It's that simple. You pull back the blinds in the morning, the light comes in. You remove the obstacle, that's all. My will takes charge of everything, providing her with all that she lacks and making her wander within the interminable boundaries of my will. It is completely the opposite when you're dealing with just ordinary virtues. How many efforts are needed and how many struggles with yourself and long paths to try and achieve something. And while it seems that the virtue is smiling at her, oh, just one passion, a little violent, one temptation, one unexpected encounter, and down she is again. So in that message, Jesus is telling us straight up, get rid of your human will, put it aside, and let the divine will reign. So let's come back to the third fiat now, because the third fiat can't operate if the human will is in the way. So February the 22nd, 1921. The third fiat will give such grace to the creature as to make him return almost to the state of origin. I note the word almost. And God will take his perpetual rest in the last fiat. So Jesus spoke to Louisa and said, "My daughter, it is my usual way to remain silent after I have spoken." Because Louisa had said to him, "Why aren't you saying something?" He said, "I want to rest in my own word." That's something that we should do, is rest in these messages and also rest in his living word in the scriptures. "I want to rest in my own word, that is, in the very work that came out of me. I did this in creation. After I said, 'Fiat lux, let there be light,' and light came into be, fiat to all the other things, and they also came into be." He said, "I wanted to rest." Now that's the Sabbath rest that you find in the end of the first book of Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis. He said, "I wanted to rest, and my eternal light rested in the light issued in time." Now God is light, you see, 1 John 1:5. And he said that his eternal light rested in the light that he had put into our time and space continuum. "My love rested in the love with which I invested the whole of creation. My beauty rested in the whole universe, which I molded after my own beauty. My wisdom and my power rested as well, with which I ordered everything. And I ordered it with such wisdom and power that in looking, I myself said, 'How beautiful is the work that came out of me. I want to rest in it.' I do the same with souls," he said. "After I have spoken, I want to rest and enjoy the effects of my word." Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 13, you'll meet the parable of the sower, the very first one. And you'll see that there are four different responses that human beings give to the word of God. We don't all produce fruit. So after this, Jesus added, "Let us say fiat together." And everything in heaven and on earth was filled with adoration to the Supreme Majesty. Then again he repeated, "Fiat," and the blood, the wounds and the pains of Jesus rose up and multiplied to infinity. And then for the third time he said, "Fiat," and this fiat multiplied in all the wills of creatures to sanctify them. And then he said to me, My daughter, these three fiats are the creating, redeeming, and sanctifying fiat in the singular, because God is one and three. In creating man, I endowed him with three powers, the intellect, the memory, and the will. And with three fiats will I accomplish the work of the sanctification of man. At the creating fiat, the intellect of man remained as though enraptured. How many things he understands about me and about my love for him. As I am hidden inside of all created things in order to make myself known and to give him love and to be loved. Love must have its complete cycle. It must be given and received. In the fiat of redemption, his memory remains as though enchanted by the excesses of my love in suffering so much in order to help and save man in the state of sin. In the third fiat, my love wants to display even more. I want to assail the human will. I want to place my own will as support of his will, so that the human will may remain not only enraptured and enchanted, but sustained by the eternal will. And as my will becomes his support in everything, man will almost be unable to escape it. I love the almost. We're always free, you see. He never ever touches that freedom he has given to us. And then he tells us something very important, considering that so many people on the internet are talking that this is the end of the world, and this is the end time, and so on and so forth. It is the end of an era, but it's the beginning of the new era of the new and divine holiness. Jesus said, "The generations will not end until my will reigns upon the earth." Thanks be to God. My redeeming fiat will place itself in the middle between the creating fiat and the sanctifying fiat. They will interweave. They will intertwine all three together, and they will accomplish the sanctification of man. The third fiat will give such grace to the creature as to make him return almost to the state of origin. And only then, when I see man just as he came out from me, will my work will be complete, and then I will take my perpetual rest, the eternal Sabbath. I will take it in the last fiat. Only the life of my volition will give back to man the state of origin. So there's no way we can go back to our origin except in and through the divine will. Therefore, be attentive, and together with me, help me to complete the sanctification of the creature. So he wants us to give him our companionship and our acts in the divine will. On hearing this, Louisa said, "Jesus, my love, I am not able to do as you do, nor indeed as you teach me. And I'm almost afraid of your reproaches if I don't do well, whatever you want from me." And then Jesus said, "Look, I also know that you cannot do perfectly what I tell you. But wherever you can't reach, I'll make up for you." That's absolutely fantastic. He knows that we can't do it properly, but he wants us to do it. He doesn't want you to make the excuse that you won't do it because you can only half do it. I want to give you Psalm 103, verses 13 to 14. He knows what we're made of, the psalm says. He knows we're only dust. And so he has compassion on us like a father. "However," Jesus said, "it is necessary that I attract you and that you understand what you must do, so that even if you cannot do everything, you must do what you can." In other words, you must have your little drop of water in the wine of his redemption. You must put your kiss of love into the fiat of sanctification. You must do what you can. And as I speak to you, he said, your will remains chained with mine. You would like to do what I tell you, and I consider this as done. Now, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, as I've told you before, really made a big thing of this when she, locked up in her convent, she told the Lord she wanted to be a priest and a missionary and this and that and the other so that she could serve him in all of these ways. And he said, done. If you want it, I'll do it. So we have to find out what is it we actually want. So Louisa said, how can this way of living in the divine will be spread and taught to others? Now, I would imagine that's the question of the priests. And who would be disposed to it? And Jesus said, my daughter, even if nobody had been saved with my descent upon the earth, the work of glorifying the Father would already be complete. The same now. Even if no one wanted to receive this gift, which will never be, you alone would be enough, and you will give me the complete glory which I want from all creatures. Now, Jesus got the complete and total response for redemption from his mother. And he wants the complete and total response for the fiat of sanctification from Louisa. And then after our Blessed Mother, all other Christians came afterwards and participated at whatever level they chose. Some to a great extent, some to a lesser extent. It will be the same with the third fiat, that all of us are coming after Louisa and we enter into it more or less, depending on our desire to love and serve the Lord. So, as we go into March the 2nd, 1921, we have a major change in Louisa's life. Jesus changes her office completely. Now, he's been guiding her this way since about volume 8. And she has found the changeover difficult. Now he actually announces what he wants to do. Jesus changes the state of victim of Louisa in order to give her the office of opening the era of the new and divine holiness. So she's put on a completely new path. And you're going to hear him saying in the messages that follow this, look, let's leave them outside. They want to kill, let them kill. Let them get on with their evil. This is completely different to the way it was before. He would come to her showing how wounded he was and ask her to participate in lessening the chastisements and interceding for others. Now it's going to be completely different. He says, let's leave them aside and you and I will create a future full of hope for them. Jeremiah 29:11. Creating a future full of hope for you. So Jesus said, my daughter, the third fiat, my fiat voluntas tua sicut in cielo et in terra, will be like the rainbow which appeared in the sky, telling everybody, of course, that a new era was beginning and that the chastisement was over. That was exactly when the rainbow appeared. So, it will be like the rainbow which appeared in the sky after the deluge. Now that's Genesis 9:15. And I also want to give you Revelation 4:3 and Revelation 10:1. So, the new fiat is going to be like this rainbow showing in the sky after this dreadful purification that must take place on the earth. Otherwise, this new era can't happen. So, as the rain, it appeared as the rainbow of peace, assuring man that the deluge had ceased. Now, the deluge was the first major purification of the human race. The second one was the passion and death of Jesus, and the third one will be this fire from heaven that Our Lady warned us about in Fatima. Jesus said it will be like this for the third fiat. As it comes to be known, loving and disinterested souls will come to live in the fiat, and they will be like rainbows, rainbows of peace, which will reconcile heaven and earth and will dispel the deluge of so many sins which have inundated the earth. Why did the deluge come in Genesis? It was because of the enormity of sin that was on the planet. Why is this frightening chastisement about to fall upon us? It's because of the same thing. And so the people living in the divine will are the new rainbows. These rainbows of peace will have the third fiat as their own life. And therefore, my fiat voluntas tua will have its completion in them. And just as the second fiat called me upon the earth to live among them, the third fiat will call my will into souls, and it will reign in them on earth as in heaven. Now, if he says it will happen, it will happen, because God is truth. And then a little bit later, Louisa said, since I was sad because of his absence, Jesus added, my daughter, be cheered, come into my will. I chose you among thousands and thousands, so my will may have its full completion in you, and so that you may be like a rainbow of peace, which with its seven colours attracts others to live in my will. So what are these seven colours? If you go to the end of the next message, you will find that these seven colours are love, goodness, wisdom, power, sanctity, mercy and justice. In other words, the divine attributes manifested in us. That you may be like a rainbow of peace, which with its seven colours attracts others to live in my will. Therefore, let us leave the earth aside. Up until now, watch this now, he's explaining to her that things are going to be very different. So we leave the earth aside. He's going to have to say this a few times to her. Up until now, I've kept you with me in order to appease my justice and to prevent greater chastisements from being poured upon the earth. Now let us allow the current of human evil to run. We're going to switch off from it. I want you with me. I want to give you Romans 1, 24, 26 and 28. Now, what do those three verses say? In chapter 1 of Romans, Paul is talking about the cesspool of evil that was in Rome at the time that Paul was writing. And three times he said God abandoned them to their dreadful sin. God abandoned them to the wicked things they were doing. God abandoned them. You know, that's the worst punishment of all. It's much worse than anything else. So here Jesus says, come on, let's leave it. Let's do something different. I want you with me in my volition to be occupied with preparing the era of my will. So again, I give you Jeremiah 29:11 for that. As you move forward on the path of my volition, the rainbow of peace will form, and it will form the link of connection between the divine will and the human will. And from this link, my will have life on the earth, and this will begin the fulfillment of my prayer. So Louisa is going to make the connection now between heaven and earth. So I really should give you John 1:51, the ladder between heaven and earth, the links that connect heaven and earth. And he said, from these links, my will have life on the earth, and this will begin the fulfillment of my prayer and the prayer of the whole church, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the fulfillment of that kingdom is found in Revelation 21 and 22. And it's after the terrible chastisements that are described in the book of Revelation. So let's leave it there for the moment.